could.
We could. Well, okay, I'm going to do an introduction now, and then we can decide if it's the beginning of the show or partway through.
Okay.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Big Show. I'm your host, Jeff Gamet. And if you think you're watching Retro Rewatch today, I totally get it, because with me is Patrice Brindamore. How are you, Patrice?
I'm doing well, yeah. And I mean, we did talk about, not TV shows, but movies and books in the pre-show. So if you weren't listening live, sorry, you missed it.
You missed a great discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is also not Retro Rewatch. So.
But who's here to stop us from doing anything we want?
That is true. That is absolutely true. Yeah, I had a good week. Like it's been a week, ups and downs. On Sunday I had my first solo flight, so that was exciting. Did my progress check.
That's awesome.
Second progress check B, and then right after did my first solo. It was, I mean, short. It was not that long. What was it? 25 minutes, something like that. It passed by so quickly. It's like three landing and one aborted, and then like you're done. But yeah, it was fun. And then yeah, work week. You know, I also am a little bit clumsy apparently this week, because I dropped a bunch of stuff and just, like I lost a plate, a wine glass, and what was this? Oh, a cup. So I'm like, wow. This week,
gravity does not like you.
No, not at all. Well, kind of. I mean, the plane, yes, but apparently not for. I had to pay for in glass and plates, and
that makes sense. So this is like the concept of equivalent exchange,
mm-hmm.
in alchemy.
Yeah.
So you're able to fly, keep your plane, mm-hmm. in the air, mm-hmm. safely, land, yeah. safely.
Yeah.
But the exchange is it costs you three dishes.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So. It's sad, but it's been a good week. I can't complain. Weather was nice. Stuff was happening. It's all good. Looking forward to the weekend, though. How are you doing?
I'm still alive and kicking.
And, good. That's a good start.
And you know, there's so many things that are going on that, mm-hmm. That my lists that I write are, mm-hmm. are just so important.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lists that I wrote, and I broke my own rule.
Get more paper for lists is the list that you wrote.
Oh, crap. I need to add that to the list now. But one of the lists that I started that, mm-hmm. I knew was going to be an ongoing list, mm-hmm. that I needed to just start writing stuff down so I'd remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And but it would eventually end up in OmniFocus.
Mm-hmm.
I broke my rule. I know when I do a list like that, it needs to start on a piece of paper that's not fixed in location,
mm-hmm.
meaning it's not in a book. It's something that I can have out separate, because what's in the book, when the page turns, that page, yeah. is now in the past.
I would say a physicist would argue with you that the paper is always fixed in location, just not in time, but
yes, okay. So, but the problem is it moves backward in time away from my current position, because I turned the page.
Mm-hmm.
So I failed to do a thing that I thought I had done, because, mm-hmm. I didn't have a note to do it because it was on the previous page. I, mm-hmm. hadn't reserved my hotel for max stock.
Ooh, yeah, that's not good.
So I took care of that this morning when I had flipped back for, I don't know why, apparently because my brain knew I needed to flip back,
mm-hmm.
saw that I didn't have a check mark by that. And then I went and looked in OmniFocus and I'm like, no, I didn't even move that over where it needs to go. And but I was able, yeah. to get my room reserved.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently I'm one of the last people who will be able to reserve a room at, ooh. at the discount rate.
Okay.
Because
good for you.
Basically, literally nearly every room in the discount block for max, mm-hmm. stock has already been reserved.
Wow, that is cool. I mean, that means
that's great.
A lot of excited people coming to Maxstock. kind of reminded me of my last hotel stay in Germany. Like, I arrived at the reception desk and they were like, "Did you reserve with us?" And I'm like, "Yes, I think so." That, and then, like, I mean, you know, when you're there, you start doubting yourself. And you're like, "Did I just imagine booking this? Did I actually book it?" And then you start going through your emails or whatever. And then, but then he was like, "Oh, no, no." Like, eventually he was like, "No, actually, I found it. Did you already check in?" I'm like, "No." So what had happened is they had checked in someone else on my reservation.
Wow.
So I was like, interesting. And then I found the I found the reservation on my side as well. I was like, "Oh yeah, here it is. Like, I have the receipt." So I was like, "Okay." But for a second I was like, did I just imagine I did?
You know, I do a thing every time I travel, mm-hmm. and I've had many people give me a hard time about it,
mm-hmm.
but I will never stop doing this, and it has saved my butt more than once. Mm-hmm. I actually make a travel kit. Mm-hmm. It's printed, mm-hmm. and it all goes into like a little folder.
Mm-hmm.
You know those school report folders, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. you punch holes in your paper and that has little brads to hold
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff, you're old. I do something similar, yes. but not printed. I have a digital folder.
So it was for this year.
Yeah, it was. It's super easy for me to find it because I have my travel reports and receipts and whatever. I need to submit that. So I just create a folder in OneDrive where I throw all stuff in. So I have it digitally.
Funny you should say that because I have it digitally as well.
Mm-hmm.
I am. I probably need an intervention for how I do this.
Yes, you do.
But it works.
Show title, Jeff needs an intervention.
Jeff needs an intervention. That could be like every week show title.
That's unfortunate.
So, of course, I'm booking everything online. So I get an email that confirms everything. Since I use Mail Maven, I have a tag that goes for whatever that event is. So they're all tagged in Mail Maven.
Yeah.
Then I generate a PDF for everything, and I have a folder in Dropbox where I organize all of these PDFs for that specific event.
Mm-hmm.
Those PDFs also get organized into OneNote.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got the email searchability. I have everything grouped as PDF in two different ways, and then it all gets printed and goes into the printed folder that goes with me, which also gives me a place to store receipts and stuff during the trip. And there has been two occasions where I've gotten to a hotel, gone to check in, and they're like, "You have no reservation," and I bring up on my phone the confirmation, and they're like, "No, you have no reservation." I pull out the folder, lay it in front of them. There's a piece of paper. And I'm like, "Oh, sorry about that." And I suddenly have a reservation.
Yeah. Nope. I've never had that problem.
Worth it for both those times.
Mm. I've never had that problem. As I said, this was literally the first time that it even happened at all. And I travel a lot. And like, I just have a digital folder. And I'm like, okay, there it is if I need it.
Look at, I just found, this is from last year, Mac stock. So look at that. There's all the pages. Jeff, this is a thin one.
Jeff, you're old.
There's like little tabs. And
you're old.
I might be old.
You're old. You probably also print out your boarding pass for the plane.
Oh, that goes into Apple Wallet.
Uh-huh.
But I do print out the confirmation.
See? Okay. Anyway.
But the confirmation also has how much I paid for it. So now I have documentation if I ever need to look back, even though I'm logging it for tax purposes and all. Anyhow,
this week in travel,
I admit that I have issues. Oh, it all goes into TripIt as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's true. I do that too. Yeah. I'm looking at. What should we talk about today?
I think we should just move right on to talking about odd technologies,
okay,
and then some cool things.
Okay, but, I'm there. Let's start with this one, since this is kind of interesting. So I'm just gonna start us with an article, since
I can. Yeah, that's right. That's what we do on this show eventually.
That's what we do in this show. And since it's only me and you, we can basically start.
And so, Daring Fireball. Okay.
Yeah, it's a Daring Fireball article, but it's not about Apple. People that know Daring Fireball know it's usually, but not always, about Apple. The article is really about, it is a commentary on a blog post, basically. That's Hupham? That's whatever. That's Hupham? I don't know. It's weird domain. Who the hell is that?
Shubham? I don't know.
He's some engineer. Anyway, the article and what the Daring Fireball links to is basically about the New York Times website. That developer, Shubham Bose, that's his name. The 49 megabyte web page. So he went to the New York Times website to glimpse at four headlines and was greeted, he said, with 422 network requests and 49 megabytes of data. It took 2 minutes before the page settled, and then you wonder why every sane tech person has an ad blocker installed on systems of all their loved ones. The same story across top publishers. And I wanted to talk about that because I think that is a reality in basically on most bigger websites, especially news websites. I linked to Daring Fireball, to John Gruber's article here, because he has a whole longer commentary on it. And he points out that those newspapers, the New York Times, I think it's also, what was the other one? There was another one that is mentioned in the article.
The Guardian.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I'm skimming through John's piece.
Yeah. So basically that those publications would never, ever do that in their print. I mean, they also kind of, well, you could do some of that. There's, I think, The Guardian, someone did the math. It's 11% of the screen real estate is actually the article. 11%.
I believe it. Try to read articles on websites through I use Flipboard for a lot of my content.
Yeah.
And however Flipboard is grabbing the content, it must be loading ads before the content can ever get to me, because it all seems to get past my pie hole. And the side effect is that I will have a web page where I have to hunt through ad content to find a sentence or part of a sentence for what I'm trying to read. And it's absolutely horrible experience.
Exactly. And that is exactly also the point of this whole discussion and this whole article, that, I mean, we all, I hope, or at least most of us, I think we've even on this show talked about the reality and the incentives that are on the web right now. Like, this is how it works. It's basically viewability and time on page are basically the main drivers. Like, how long are you on page? How many ads can we show? Like, eyeballs and clicks and all of that, right? So the longer you're trapped on a page, the higher cost per click. What is it? CPM? What's that? Click per minute? No. What is CPM? Now I'm blanking on it.
Oh, come on. That's funny, because I use the term
just
all the time.
Gone.
Just like gone. That. Thank you.
CPM. Yeah. Whatever. The higher rate, simply, let's put it this way, that the publisher can charge, right? The longer people stay there, the more they can charge, because the more valuable your attention span is, or to the advertisers. Right? Is it cost per million, maybe?
Let's see. Man, I absolutely hate when I cost per
millimeter. I don't know.
It's Okay, this is why I can never remember what it is, because it's cost per thousand impressions. So what's the M in M doesn't fit with.
Impressions.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. So
Yes.
it's cost per thousand impressions.
Yes, so CPM. But anyway, the point is your frustration of like not being able to find the content and not really enjoying the time you spend there is the product, is part of the product. That's it is designed that way. Because basically every decision, every UX decision, every sales decision, every editorial decision on that page is like aligned with that. It has to be, right? Because it's a business. So I think Bose writes like the reader is not respected enough by the software. And John said he disagrees only insofar as the reader isn't respected at all. And he's right.
Yeah, he's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, he's also, I think I agree, like nobody would do that in a newspaper. Nobody would even accept that in a TV show. Like he likens it to, what was it, 7 minutes of TV show in a 1 hour show. So 53 minutes of ads in a 1 hour TV show. Nobody would accept that.
No, it's I long ago, I remember a local TV station that just ran syndicated reruns, and it was a Star Trek episode, and they broke for 3 minutes of commercials every 90 seconds. So
That's crazy.
the episode was just like sliced down to the bare minimum so that there would be a little bit of show in the hour long block, but it was basically all commercials, in broken up occasionally by a bit of a show, and it was absolutely horrible. And they ended up not doing that, or they stopped that practice, undoubtedly because people were contacting them, and
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that's exactly the point. Like we would not accept that anywhere else. Like we don't accept that in print. We don't accept that and like in he makes the point here. Like the New York Times, the Guardian, the Wall Street Journal, the Atlantic, the New Yorker don't do anything like this. The print edition of the New Yorker could not possibly be more respectful of both the reader's attention and the sanctity of the prose they publish. Right? I mean, slight asterisk on that, you also pay for that. So I'll accept that. But I mean, it's gotten really bad to the point where, as you said, you're hunting for a sentence and you get like every whatever, every three sentences you have a auto-playing video pop up that pops in front of it, or a hey, subscribe to our this, or hey, how about read this article that has nothing to do with what you're reading right now, or like all of that.
Or check out this skin cream. Whatever, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, without an ad blocker, and even with an ad blocker, I mean, they're, as you said, they're either. I understand that to some extent because, as I said, the incentives are that way. But like, even with an ad blocker, like they either get around it, or you get a page where it's basically an empty page with like a sentence here and a sentence down there and a sentence all the way in the bottom, and you have to hunt those still because it's just empty spaces. I mean, you don't see the ads, but you still see the empty spaces where the ads would have been.
And then some websites will also do the pop-up that blocks you from viewing their content because they detected your ad blocker.
Oh yeah, that as well. Yeah, it's the first thing I do is go into the developer tools and just delete that pop-up. Like shit like that. You have to do.
Yeah,
But
but
it's
how many people know
Yeah,
to be
and how
able to
many
do
people just
that?
close, I mean, what I do also usually just close the tab and say, okay, it's not worth it.
That's
Like
yeah, that's what I end up doing.
I'm just not gonna read your article. I mean, how good is it anyway? But I'm not even gonna bother. And you get the same ad like six, seven, eight times on the same page, and like all of that. It's like, and I don't know how to get out of that. I mean, I said I understand both sides. That it's the web. Newspaper, whatever you want to call it, the news business is not where it used to be, right? We know that. fewer and fewer people working in those businesses, like newsroom getting shut down, all of that. Mm-hmm. So I understand that, but this is not a solution.
No, it's not. All right, I don't want to make it sound like I'm just bagging on Google,
mm-hmm.
but I do blame Google for this.
Google and Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Both are the biggest ad platforms, and both incentivize it. But I mean, yeah. I mean, maybe yes, Google, because they've started it, you know, or bought the company who started it, technically.
Yeah. Wait, which company did they buy?
AdSense. I know they bought
AdSense. That's right. Yeah. And then later on, they bought DoubleClick, or did someone else buy DoubleClick?
Or was it DoubleClick? No, I think it was AdSense. Maybe they did buy DoubleClick. I don't remember.
I don't. They own everything.
At this point, yes.
Yeah. If it's going to make you sad, Google probably owns it, or Meta.
Yeah.
It's okay. So you'd think that companies like Google and Meta would be able to read the room.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we get incredibly obtrusive advertising,
mm-hmm.
people then take action to try and get that obtrusive advertising out of the way. Basically, every web browser includes ad blocker technology now.
Yeah.
So if they know everyone is so upset with the way ads are being presented,
yeah,
that they are actively using tools to block them,
mm-hmm.
why not try and find a way that to present these ads where it doesn't drive people to want to continually find new ways to block what you're doing?
I thought you would say to rip out your eyeballs.
Well, I'd rather keep my eyeballs.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, if necessary, I mean, this is an option that's on the table.
Yeah. So by the way, it's kind of both correct what we said. So Google bought DoubleClick. AdSense, in a way, was internal and in a way was not. So okay. AdSense, the technology was actually developed internally, but they did acquire a company called Applied Semantics that had a contextual advertising technology, and the name AdSense came from that acquisition. But the technology behind it is actually Google internal.
Okay.
So, to make it complicated. So, it's kind of both.
We're both right.
Both right. I mean, no, we both thought that we were both right, and we are both right. So, yay.
But this is a rare day.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the problem with that is that, I mean, yes, it is the fault of those companies, but I think it is ultimately also on us as consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's not that there are no, that they haven't been tried at different business models, and there aren't business models that are working. Like the New York Times, like itself, has a pretty thriving subscription online subscription business, paywalled.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like the people who complain about paywalls. I mean, do I like them particularly? If someone sends me a link and it's a paywall link and I'm like, I'm not going to pay for that? No. Do I complain about it? Also no, because I'm like, hey, they're making money that way. I'm not willing to pay for it, so I'm just going to close the website and that's it. Like, that's the last thought I give it.
And that's a totally reasonable reaction.
Yeah, but I'm not going to complain about it because I understand that like there has to be a way to make money.
And yeah, I agree with you. I read New York Times
mm-hmm.
online, so I have a subscription.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And I'm okay with that because I find the content that, at least the content that I'm looking for, to be valuable
mm-hmm.
enough
mm-hmm.
to pay for what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
that's good. And their paywall, mm-hmm. once I'm through it, I'm not looking at ads. I'm looking mm-hmm. at an article that's even cleaner than it would be in say the print version of the New York Times, because there's literally no advertisements showing up on the page at all.
Yeah, which is good. Yeah, it's how it should be. I mean, the question is always how long, because that's the other, and that's I think the darker side of it, that a lot of businesses try to squeeze more money out of their services, and they start like adding ads just to make more money out of you. You know, mm-hmm. increase shareholder value, like they say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but again, I think that is the part where I think it's disrespectful of the subscribers, even in this case.
I agree. Yeah. Okay, there's another problem that comes into this.
Who was that? Paramount Plus? Was it Paramount Plus who was like, oh yeah, you can pay for the ad-free plan, but really we're still going to show you ads when we want to?
Was that Paramount?
Was it Paramount or was it Hulu or was it like one of the streaming services? I just don't remember. But it was basically the ad-free plan that wasn't really ad-free.
Yeah, which that's when you start flipping tables.
Yes.
And yeah. Okay, so for people that are old enough
mm-hmm.
to remember before Google came up with their new style, our current style of ad delivery, there was still that pervasive feeling
mm-hmm.
because of the way that the internet was set up mm-hmm. and the way content was delivered that this was this free world for all of us to have access to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for some people, even if they didn't get to experience that internet, that feeling still carries over.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a sense of entitlement that a lot of people have as well.
Yeah.
And that actually fits in really well with what you were saying about paywalls
mm-hmm.
and not having a problem with them. The people that do. A lot of people that have problems with the paywalls, it's because they feel entitled to have free access to the content.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like you, I'm okay paying for what I'm getting.
Yeah.
But if the price that I have to pay is overwhelming the ads and tracking.
Yeah.
And yeah, it exceeds the value.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't even find an article through the ads.
Yeah.
Then there's no value in that article for me.
I mean, I have that with YouTube. I don't like YouTube enough and I don't find value enough in YouTube to pay for it. And since mm-hmm. they have increased ads in videos, which, fine, they can do, but the result was that they simply stopped watching YouTube videos. Super rare that I watch a YouTube video because I was like, okay, it's not worth it. It's not worth to pay for it. The pain is not big enough to say, oh, I want to pay for it. But it's too painful now to actually watch anything.
I hadn't thought about it till you brought that up. But wow. Okay, the only time I use YouTube now, and mm-hmm. it's been this way for quite a while,
mm-hmm.
I go to find a trailer for a movie that's
mm-hmm,
coming
mm-hmm,
out
mm-hmm.
or I'm watching someone's live stream. Like mm-hmm. when Mac Voices Live, In Touch with iOS, when I'm on those shows,
I do
have
that.
The live stream in YouTube open.
Yeah, I do that.
That's it.
Yeah, I do that.
But I don't watch anything on YouTube.
Rarely, but I do that, like live streams. But even that is super, super rare. No, it's like, I don't blame Google for that. I'm very well, very aware of the massive amount of cost that Google, I mean, it's probably less than you would think, but it's still a massive amount of cost that Google has because of all the videos, right? I mean, just the sheer amount of stuff that gets uploaded that people watch once, twice, three times, right? I mean, probably 90-something% of all the content on YouTube is watched very few times. And they still store it, and they still hold it for you to watch. If the fourth person wants to watch your cat eating their food, they can.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. So while you were talking, mm-hmm. I went ahead and looked up how many videos are uploaded to YouTube a day.
That's insane.
20 million. Yeah, it's absolutely insane. 20 million videos uploaded mm-hmm. to YouTube
yeah, yeah.
every single day.
And maybe 1,000, maybe 10,000 of them are watched more than a couple times. Like the people you would consider and say, okay, like people do watch those videos. The people that have, like all the way from the top people that have probably millions and billions of, well, millions of views at least in the first couple hours to like whatever, the Doc Rock or whatever, where you have, I don't know how many he has, but let's say tens of thousands.
Mm-hmm.
In the first day, like that's it. Like I'm okay with that. Like Google, and I would pay for YouTube, and I know people who pay for YouTube if the value was there. It's just not for me.
Yeah, and I'm with you. And I know people that pay mm-hmm. for YouTube, and the value is there for them.
Mm-hmm. I used to like I remember, and it's I mean Netflix was a similar thing. I think it's for most subscriptions or for most payments you have. Like there's a threshold, and Netflix, for example, exceeded it. They kept increasing the price and kept increasing the price, and at some point I was like, not worth it anymore.
Same, yeah. The most recent price increase at Netflix, mm-hmm. that's when I canceled, and I'd been a subscriber to Netflix mm-hmm. so long mm-hmm. that when I started with Netflix, I was getting DVDs in mm-hmm. red envelopes in the mail from them.
Wow. Okay. That's longer than I had been.
That's how long I had that account. And then they did this price increase and I'm like, done.
So I think at the end of the day, what is like advertising is reality. Advertising is not always. I mean, the funny thing is advertising these days, people see mostly negative.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, it's not. It has. I still think it has a good purpose or good-ish purpose. I mean, it's still like capitalism, right? But it has a purpose. Like it is a way to expose the people that are interested in your product to whatever new product you have. That's what advertising is good. Mm-hmm. If it's done well, that's what it's good for. It's like, hey, Jeff. Like you're really into the no pants lifestyle, and I have a new product for you that you would be interested in, right?
And good news, it doesn't have pants.
And good news, it doesn't have pants, exactly. So that's kind of the that's where it's good at. And I've bought stuff. I've seen Instagram ads and bought stuff because they were a really good product. Like recently, I bought a wallet and it was mm-hmm. really good.
I have bought multiple. T-shirts mm-hmm. because of Instagram ads.
Yeah.
I have just right over there, I have this, it's like this hard wool giant donut shaped thing
mm-hmm.
that has an opening on the front. So mm-hmm. my cat can go in and run around and play.
Ah, yes. I remember you showed me that. Yes.
And I never would have known about this except mm-hmm. that it popped up in a Facebook ad.
Yeah.
And so I went and checked it out, and
that
was a great purchase.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the thing. Like, advertisements sometimes do work, and there's value in them. It's just like, do you do the advertisement in a at least somewhat respectful manner? I mean, it's always going to be disruptive. There's always going to be a person who says, "I don't want to see any ads," right? Because I mean, this is disrupting me watching cat videos. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I get that. Like your free service that's showing you cat videos on like 24 hours a day, and you complain that it shows you ads to pay for it. Okay, but you can do that in a way that it's not too disruptive. It's still gonna be a little bit, but it's not too disruptive. Like very few people so far I've heard complain about Instagram ads.
Yeah, it's.
They're still there.
I was going to say I haven't seen anything to complain about for a while. Oh, people complain about it. I haven't been on Instagram.
Yeah. No, people complain about it
for a year.
People, I mean, you know, people complain about everything, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Or TikTok, TikTok ads. Like, when do mm-hmm. you hear? I mean, we're both probably not on TikTok much or not at all. But like, when do you hear about TikTok complaints about TikTok ads?
I don't.
Yeah.
As the only time I hear about TikTok ads is when someone says there's this crazy ad on mm-hmm. TikTok,
and it's really good.
And
and
well, like the whole thing with, I know we're not doing the Mac Show today.
Mm-hmm.
Lil Finder Guy,
Oh yeah.
From the MacBook Neo. That's from TikTok ads. And people are just going crazy about Lil Finder Guy.
Yeah. So I mean, actually, did you say that? There is some, not just from Apple, from other companies as well, there is some very, very memorable ads, right? And those are ads. They're not nice articles or like a film or like a TV show. No, they're ads. I don't know. The Coca-Cola Christmas, like the Santa trucks and whatever, like those are ads. People remember them. They're good.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl ads. Some of the Super Bowl ads.
Yeah. Well, Super Bowl ads, you're right. That's a big thing.
And they're usually interesting. I mean, there's the random ones where you're like, what the hell was I just watching? But...
Yeah. So you brought up the Christmas ads. I remember as a kid, even though at that point, my parents were like, alcohol is bad. Don't drink alcohol. Every Christmas, we were excited to see the new Budweiser ad because of the horses.
Oh, yeah. 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 There's so many interesting ads out there. So as I said, like when it's done well and it's done respectfully, it actually works. People remember it. The brands like have a benefit. It's just don't be like most websites. I mean, there's literally from the top of my mind, I have a bunch of websites that I'm like, I don't go to anymore because I just cannot even find the content.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
And then the ones that are like, oh, I want you to use your location. I'm like, F no.
No. Oh my God, no. And we want to send you notifications. Also no.
Exactly. Also no. Please don't ask that every time.
Right. Yeah.
Did you also bring an article? Like we've been talking about mine.
Oh, time. I did. You know, if we wanted, we could just start wrapping up now. But
no, let's talk.
I'll share my article. It's actually, it's two articles because they kind of go together. So yesterday, as we record, Meta announced that the Metaverse project thing is basically dead because they're shutting down the Horizons world, which is the virtual space in Metaverse, you know, for people to go and meet and hang out. So Metaverse is on life support at best. Well, today, because of outrage of, I love how I think TechCrunch put it, all five users of Horizon Worlds, they're actually not shutting down Horizon Worlds. They backtracked, but what they really mean is they will continue to support Horizon Worlds in VR for a subset of VR headsets. But so
basically, they're shutting down, just not now.
Yeah, they're shutting down. They just not all the way yet.
Yeah. I mean, is this a surprise?
No, it's not.
I mean, Meta said as much, right? They basically said they're scaling down their whole Metaverse topic. They shut down. What was it? Some game studio shut down.
Oh, right. Yes. That sounds familiar.
Something like that. There was some announcement like a couple of months ago. So, I mean, Zuckerberg said as much. Like, they're focusing elsewhere now. Which is funny for a company that a couple of years ago said, oh, no, the Metaverse is where everything is at, and we're changing the name of the company to Meta and all of that.
I think this reflects on Mark Zuckerberg
a
lot.
Yeah.
Because... So Brian Chaffin has said on Context Machine more than once that Mark Zuckerberg and other people in that group are too young to have, and I'm paraphrasing, to have the knowledge and experience to responsibly wield the power that they have.
How old is he? 40 something? I think he's old enough.
And yet when he first gained this power, he was much younger. He doesn't seem to have developed the skills to
41, but born almost 42. So I think he's old enough now. No, I mean, I think that the reality is it's not an age thing. Maybe it's a, okay, I don't want to say mental age thing, but what I mean is really a, maybe, I mean, yeah, maybe there is something to what you just said. Like when they became rich and famous, they were too young to have developed the skills to handle it.
And now here we are.
And so they never got to the point where they can wield that power properly. But I mean, it's also like Elon Musk is like the whole tech brosphere is like that. I meet so many people, young and old, that are not rich and famous that are exactly like him.
It's there's a pattern that I have seen in the people like that that I've personally met. And it's that they have an uncanny ability to surround themselves only with yes people when they need to have a strong no person in the mix as well. And I think Metaverse is a good example of this. Mark decided to go all in, even renamed the company. He's like, this is the future of everything. And then got companies that you think would know better than to invest billions of their own money to adopt the technology, only to have it a couple of years later just fizzle
I
out.
mean, so here's the thing. I mean, I never believed in the whole metaverse thing. I think VR and whatever is gonna change the world, is gonna influence the world, but we're far away from that.
Yeah, I agree.
So him, I mean, to some extent, him in the position he is in, wanting to be part of that, I understand. Facebook knows, and like that's not a secret, Facebook knows that their life as a social platform is limited. Because that is a very, very fickle business. How many social networks have already shut down or basically dying? Many.
And even the big name ones, at some point they have to pivot or they will be lost as well.
Exactly. So, and Facebook knows that. And he's been trying to throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. And that is exactly what he and his company and his like investors and whatever should be doing. Facebook phones, Facebook, all kinds of devices. Like he's just looking at it and saying, okay, what can we do? Like what can we try, and like what's the next thing? Other companies do it better, maybe, and execute it better, but I understand that to say, okay, like we think like this is something we understand, and we think VR is the next big thing, and we're gonna push in that direction and push it ourselves and like and push it forward. And you can argue with, was the metaverse a failure or not? He did push it.
He did push it,
He did push
and
it. Like I'm sure Apple's Vision Pro would not be where it is today if it wasn't for the likes of Google and Facebook.
yeah, that's fair. I'd say that's fair.
They proved, they tested things, they proved things, they also disproved things, like certain things people didn't care about, and like some content is there already, and like whatever. Like they did a lot of work, like in public. And some was failures, like the Google Glass and whatever. But it's sad that they pushed it. Now pivoting everything and saying that we're now a metaverse company and throwing everything behind it might have been a very immature move. But could also be
I
just
would go
investor
farther and
driven.
say, I think it's an immature move, but the investors loved it.
Which sometimes is your job as a CEO of a multi-billion-dollar company to excite people for the next thing and say like this is where we should invest our money. I mean, we have a lot of money. What are we doing with it? Let's I think this is the next thing, and I'm gonna make it happen. And it turns out, maybe it is the next big thing, but maybe not now, or maybe it's not. It just didn't work out. I mean, how many things has Apple killed? How many things has Microsoft killed? How many million things has Google killed? Yeah. I mean, I would say props to him to realize it and stop it.
That's fair. I think it's also fair to say maybe he shouldn't have rebranded his entire business.
Yes.
On this and yeah. To say that you know, we're only a couple years away from this being the only thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I said, I mean, and we're seeing the same thing right now in AI and whatever. Like this is to some extent also part of the business. I think I have to, as much as I absolutely think he's a horrible person and I dislike him, I have to give him props for realizing something isn't going where he wants and or like not going as fast as he wants, or maybe just not turning out, and like maybe it is not the next big thing, or is that not now, and pivoting and say, okay, then go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yes, instead of a smart move.
Yeah, instead of sunk cost, then we're just gonna stick to it and hope. I mean, sometimes you have to, that's the tricky bit, right? Sometimes you have to stick to it, and sometimes you have to stop it and pivot.
Yeah, and I think right now pivoting is the smart move.
I mean, hindsight will tell you that. We don't know. Like maybe in a couple of years we will all be like, remember like Meta and Facebook and whatever, like they had it all and then they just threw it away, and then 2 years later someone came and basically made it big, and if they'd waited 2 years they could have been there. You never know.
Yeah, but you know, oftentimes when that scenario plays out, it's very likely had the companies that backed away and then missed out, mm-hmm. had they stayed in the game, they would not have won anyhow, because
it wouldn't have happened, or they wouldn't have made, or they wouldn't have been able to adapt to the new thing fast enough, and would have lost out anyway, like because they were already too far in into maybe a slightly wrong direction or something. Said in the end of the day, I still don't like Zuckerberg. I don't like the tech bros.
I am not a tech bro fan.
No.
No.
I had to deal with my fair share of tech bros in like in IT, and I'm like, they don't even understand what their problem is. That's the big problem.
Yeah, the tech bros that I dealt with, when I was doing the journalism thing, there was a standard mold, and you totally nailed it. How you describe them, and it was fascinating to talk to these people that in some cases were living, breathing examples of Dunning-Kruger effect.
Yeah, so true. I meet them all the time at meetups. I can tell you that the people could come up to me and then start talking about their whatever thing they're excited about tech-wise, and this is the next big thing, and try to explain it to me like I'm stupid and I have no idea. And I'm like, you know, I have teams that are working on that right now, and I can tell you, you're completely wrong, but hey, okay. They don't even listen.
I imagine for you, it's even worse.
Yeah,
because I mean, when I show up at a meetup and there's a tech pro doing his thing, he'll give me the hype and everything. I imagine when they do the same for you, that's also condescending, because you can't understand that you're a girl.
Exactly, that's exactly what it is. Like, it's like, oh, you don't understand that, like you have no idea what I'm talking about, and like I know AI and you don't. I'm like, right.
Yeah. So anyhow, I'm glad I never got my MetaQuest whatever Facebook goggles and.
Hey, I've tried them. They're not bad. Not as good as other products. Not bad. Like if you have them and you like them, hey, like fine.
I tried them. And the problem for me was that I had to have my glasses on underneath them.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't get a good enough focus without my glasses.
Yeah, for sure. Doesn't work that way.
And it was an absolutely incredibly horrible, uncomfortable experience. And lasted 10 minutes. And it's like,
that was already generous. 10 minutes.
No,
100%. Like, I'm with you. And I mean, I said I've friends have some and I've tried them. And I'm like, yeah, it's nice enough, but it's not as good as others. And...
Yeah. Well, you know what's better than that? Our technologies.
Our technologies.
Yes. And why are they better than that? Well, first, they're not going to make me put on a VR headset that's uncomfortable and then throw me into a virtual world where everyone looks like a Wii character instead of something out of Ready Player One.
Ready Player One would be cool, I have to say.
Well, that's what everyone wanted, but we didn't get it. We were still stuck at every level.
The virtual world, not the real world, because the real world was a hellscape.
Yeah. So anyhow, Odd Technologies, they are making sure that we have the resources that we need so that we can bring you riveting content like this, where we enlighten you about the problems with with the technology world today. Without them, we wouldn't be able to live stream shows. We wouldn't have a place for the website to live. We wouldn't have a place for the show files to live so you can watch or listen to recordings anytime you want. And we would just be lost without their help. So we really do appreciate that Aw Technologies is here for us. And so thank you, Aw Technologies, for that. Now, for those of you that don't know what Aw Technologies is, besides being a generous company, they're a company that comes in and sets up all of the remote monitoring stuff you need for, say, your construction site or whatever site you need monitoring on. And so you have all that real-time remote access to whatever your project is. They have a very strong track record with the railroad industry. Have even won awards, and rightly so. So whatever your project is, where you need to have that remote monitoring, outdoor monitoring, check them out, because they'll be able to hook you up. Aw Technologies, their website is AWE Technologies, awtechnologies.co.uk. And thank you, Aw Technologies, for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Another place where we have amazing support is actually from you, Patrice, because you have volunteered so many hours over the years to make stuff happen. And one of the things that you did with your volunteer time was getting us set up with the great live stream and live chat system we have today. Do you mind telling people how that live chat part works?
I mean, it's quite easy. Since we talked about YouTube earlier, if you've ever used YouTube live streams, you know exactly how it looks like. You go to live.britishtechnetwork.com when we are recording, when we're streaming, which is Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for this very show, and also Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. So tomorrow we'll talk about the Mac. And then you have a video on the left, a chat on the right, no registration required, which is different than to YouTube. And you can literally talk to us, and we have a live transcript. So afterwards, you can also get everything. Like, we post all the links, for example, to stuff we talked about. And Jeff, like, I saw that you put in the 20 million videos uploaded to YouTube and the little Finder guy and so on. Like, and of course, all our articles and other stuff we talked about, all of that is in our live chat there. And you can just talk to us. It's really, really easy, really simple. If you're listening to this in the recorded form, you're like, okay, that's cool. We had a live chat. Where the hell are the links? Because now I don't get them. Well, easy solution for you. We have a transcript, as I mentioned, britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Go there, pick a date, pick any date from the calendar. And if you pick today's date, which would be, well, Thursdays and Fridays are always good dates. Thursdays for this show, Fridays for the Mac show, kind of makes sense. March 19th, 2026 for this very show. Pick that and you will see everything that we talked about in like this very show.
Awesome.
On this very show, whatever. English heart, I know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's such a mashup of other languages.
Words.
And words, and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, now it's time for some cool things.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my gosh, Patrice, you have the first cool thing. What a surprise.
What a surprise. I mean, it could have been you. So since we talked about Instagram ads and stuff that I bought, I thought, and I rushed out while you were talking about our technologies real quick to grab that. It's my wallet. Mm-hmm. It's a Essential Bag is the company. I should have put in the correct link that I grabbed. The Smart Wallet 3.0. Where did I have it? Because I just had it open there. Smart Wallet 3.0. Let me throw the correct link in the chat. So that's the one. And it's a wallet, right? It fulfills the purpose. Like for me. I have had a, what was called, Rich Wallet for, I want to say about a decade-ish, mm-hmm. something like that, maybe a little more even. And I love it because I love compact wallets. I mostly carry cards these days. I have very little cash. When mm-hmm. I go to Germany, I need a little more, or when I go to the farmer's market because they still take cash mostly here. But then also I usually just pick it up right before. But I very rarely need cash these days, but every now and then I do. But mostly you need cards, and these, like, I have a lot of them because unfortunately most of them are not digital. Like also these days you have the digital credit cards and Apple Wallet and whatever, but like I still carry some of them. But this wallet, I mean, they come in different colors. It's like, it's not actual leather, it's like fake leather, but it's really nice, like a nice soft. It's the size is basically the size of a couple stacked credit cards. It's not that much bigger, but it packs a punch. So you have basically, there's this part on the top that you can press a button, and then you get, depending on the thickness of the cards, I don't know how many I have in, it's probably 6, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 6 cards, maybe even a 7th would fit. So let's say 5 to 7 cards up there. And like you could just, like when you need them, those are the easy access where you need like your credit card, your driver's license, whatever. And they like, they stack a little bit, so they like, they're staggered, so you can also easily grab the one that you need. So that's really easy, cool. And you can push them back in and they're secure again. So that's the let's say the most, or the easiest feature. It's like magnetic, so it opens magnetically. And then like on the inside, there's space either for cash or for more cards. Like I have some cash actually in there, folded up. And then I have a couple other cards that I need less often, like my driver's license, for example, isn't there. I need it super rarely. And whatever cards you need, you can also put on the inside. And then there is a kind of a third space on the other side where the magnets are. Also mm-hmm. on the back is there's a little pocket for cash. So I have a little couple euros in there. But there's like on the back side, there's also a space. And you could either use that for more cards, or you can buy with them a tracker card. So there's a little, and it works with Apple Find My, and it works with the whatever the Google system is called, like Apple Find My, Android Find Hub, because it says on the card even. Yeah, so it's a little card. It charges with Qi. So it's a Qi-charged card. Basically a credit card size, I would say. And you can put it there in this little pocket. And with that, you have a Find My enabled, or Google Find Hub enabled wallet. And it's really nice and compact. So it fits nicely in your small purse, or probably your, since men have nice pockets, probably in your jeans pocket, should be easy enough. Like it's not that thick. It's like maybe a thick phone, depending on how much cash and whatever you have in it. But it's not that thick, I would say. I think would probably fit in your pocket in your jeans. So that's it. Cool. Comes in, I think, I don't know, how many colors?
A bunch of colors.
Many, many colors. Yeah. So, and it is not that expensive. It's like there's a sale going on right now, 45% off, which is $75 The tracker card, I think, is another 50 if you want. You can have it with an engraving or without. I did without because I was like, why?
Sure.
I don't need that. Like, it's quicker to ship. I was like, let's get that. Yeah, but it's it. It's nice.
That's super cool.
Mm-hmm. So that's how I got a new wallet.
Awesome. All right, my cool thing.
Oh, by the way, my since I have it still here, my rich wallet is still there. I just put all the extra cards that I don't need, I put in there.
Nice.
What's your cool thing?
My cool thing, I have not bought this. I'm not planning on buying this.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the Star Trek groups that I'm in, people are just raving about theirs because it's shipping now. The company Tomy, they've been making some high-end replica models. And the current one that people are just flipping about, it's a 1 to 350 scale Starship Enterprise from Star Trek the Motion Picture. So the refit Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's die cast, so it's not some plastic model. And it ships fully assembled. So you get this big box with this thing packed in it. And it's painted with that kind of iridescent patchwork. They call it Aztec-ing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing. But so it has that same look from the movies, and tons of details. So it matches the movie model very, very closely. It lights up, and the base has buttons. So you have different lighting schemes that you can do with it. So like just the windows are lit up, or you get windows and the navigation lights, and you can have the impulse engines light up, or the warp drive engines. Mm-hmm. And the hangar craft shuttle bay has a little piece that's the closed bay doors, but you can pop that off. And then it's the open bay doors. So you can see into the shuttlecraft bay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it has like a little miniature shuttlecraft.
Aww.
And so you get the Enterprise and a couple shuttlecraft, and it does all the lights and everything. And on the back of the saucer section where the bridge is, there's the big windows that look into the observation lounge.
Mm-hmm.
You can look into the windows, and it has the interior in there as well.
Ooh, that's cool. I like that.
So it's people are just raving about this. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh my God, this is the coolest model, and I absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm.
The kicker is, though, it's going to cost you $700. So...
Yeah, now you see why I'm at the price.
Yeah, you can see why I'm not buying one. Mm-hmm.
Not yet. If someone gives you a contract for whatever $10 million, then you're like, you're buying two.
Yeah, I'll buy one and I'll buy two and have one delivered to you.
Okay, I had a deal. I'll let's work on that.
Yeah. But anyhow, it's very cool. It looks really neat. The photos that I'm seeing from people that are posting from when they get theirs. It just looks so cool. Occasionally someone will be like, mine has a little ding in it and I'm so pissed off, and contact the company. There's probably something happened during shipping or packaging, and I'm sure they'll take care of you. But most of the comments that I'm seeing, people are like, this is the coolest thing ever. I can't believe that I dropped the money on this, but I'm so glad that I did. And yeah. So anyhow, there you go. A 1 to 350 scale die cast Starship Enterprise that lights up and looks super, super cool.
It does look really cool.
Only $700.
Lights. That's a steal at that price.
Yeah. I mean, imagine what it would cost if you bought a real Starship. A lot more than $700.
No, because money doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Oh yeah. You just need a couple bars of gold press latinum, right?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, 35 inches by 16 inches by 11 inches.
It's
That
kind of
is
big.
kind of big, yeah. And it's only 1 to 350, so.
Yeah,
Imagine you had a real size enterprise at home.
there's a guy
Yes,
that's
I remember
building a
that.
one quarter scale
Yeah, and that
enterprise.
is massive. Like,
Yeah, and he's working on the prototype model of it, which is 1 to 100 scale, which is massive anyhow.
In itself, yeah. Yeah, wow.
And yeah,
It's so cool.
so I don't know where he's going to put his quarter scale enterprise.
In space.
He might have to. Yeah.
Just imagine, like, in a couple hundred years, someone actually, like, someone builds a spaceship and it looks exactly like the Enterprise because they're like, this was a cool design and I wanted a real thing.
It'll happen at some point.
That would be
It
cool.
might be evolved raccoons or octopuses that do it.
Yeah, probably.
Octopi.
Not us. Not us.
Yeah. They'll be like,
Cats.
you remember cats, yeah.
Cats.
You remember those hominids that died out?
They were kind of stupid.
But they had some really cool designs.
That's true, yeah. That's it. They were kind of stupid, but they had some cool designs.
Yeah.
They were
Yeah.
smoking some really good stuff, so they had some cool designs.
That explains a lot about our species.
It does,
Yeah.
yeah.
I think it's probably about time to wrap up.
It is. It is.
So, Patrice, where can people find you?
Every week here on the Big Show on Thursdays, the Mac Show on Fridays. I'm also like everything I'm doing, social media links, podcasts, projects, all of that. The whole page with cool things, and I don't know if it's already up. It might already be up. I always publish the cool thing I picked on the website. There's a whole list going back to late, I think it's November 2019. All the cool things I've picked since. And as I said, like whenever I picked something here for the show, I literally just throw it into Windsurf and have it push and it's out in like a couple minutes. So might already
Nice.
be up on the website. The post is not even up, but like or the podcast, but this is already up. Yeah, then with you, Jeff, we're on Retro Rewatch. I always like to show the mug.
I have one just
You
like it.
have, I don't know, what a coincidence. You have one just like it.
An amazing coincidence.
Amazing coincidence. Yeah, Jeff and I do Retro Rewatch. I think you've heard us talk about it. We like to rewatch retro TV shows. We published, or we are in, well, kind of the starting point or beginning of season four of Stargate SG-1. Published Crossroads last week, and next up we will Divide and Conquer You, because that's the next episode, Divide and Conquer.
Awesome.
Coming out tomorrow or somewhere on the weekend.
Tomorrow-ish.
Tomorrow-ish, yeah. It mostly depends on when I actually remember. I'm like, I always say, yeah, I'm gonna edit tomorrow, and I might even start editing, and then I get distracted and forget about it, and then somewhere on the weekend I'm like, oh, I have to finish that, and then it takes me like 3 minutes to publish.
Well, my objective is to make sure that there's always a post ready for you. So that when you have time to edit, you're not waiting on me.
Yeah, and enter you always have them, so it's all good. Yeah, it's mostly me. It's mostly that I, as I said, I start and then I forget and then I come back to it and then I forget again, and that's usually my process.
Well, there's so many exciting things going on in your world.
Yeah, like squirrels.
Squirrels, tea.
Tea. Hot
Yeah.
usually. Sometimes cold.
Depends on how long
Actually,
it takes you to remember you made it, right?
yes. A funny story, someone in the office once asked me whether I actually like tea. Because they always saw me making it or starting the process of making it, but they never saw me drink it. Because I always would forget somewhere along the way. I might boil the water and then forget about it, or I might even put the water into the cup and like have it steep and then forget about it, or like somewhere along the way I would always forget it. And then it would sit there for hours and then I would throw it away, basically. Start over.
Yesterday, my tee fail. I don't fail very often, but when I do, it's so stupid. So I'm making breakfast yesterday. Okay, people, I'm a U.S. citizen who has an electric tea kettle.
Yeah,
I know
as you
I'm an
should.
anomaly,
No, you're not.
as I should. So anyhow, I'm making breakfast. The tea kettle finishes getting up to temperature. Pour the water into my mug. Start my timer. Go back to work, making breakfast. The timer goes off. I go to pull the tea bag out, and it's just clear water. Guess who forgot to put a tea bag in?
Yeah, been there, done that. It happens to me more often than I'm willing to admit.
Doesn't happen to me often, but when it does, it's very confusing because I'm not expecting it at all.
Yeah, all the time. I'm like, did I actually make the tea? Did the water boil? Did I even turn on the water? Like, did anywhere along that path, something might have. It's like, did it steep for the last 3 hours because I just forgot about it and made the alarm I set either I set it and then didn't listen to it or I just didn't set it or whatever.
Yeah, I do have a problem of starting the timer for the tea and then sitting down at my desk and working on something. The timer goes off. I tell the A lady to turn off the timer,
And
and
then
I'm
keep
thinking,
working.
oh, yeah, I just need to finish this thing and then I'll
Yeah,
go
and then
get
all,
and.
yeah. 3 hours later, you're like, oh, yeah,
Yeah.
do that all the time.
Yeah.
So, what about you, Jeff?
Oh, well, when I'm not failing to make tea, how about Jay Gammon on the various social medias, mostly right now on Mastodon and Pixelfed and Blue Sky. And then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS, here for the Big Show and the Mac Show, Brian Chaffin and I, we do The Context Machine, and Patrice, as you pointed out, we do retro rewatch.
Yeah, you wanted to say Brian Turvin and I?
It turns out that there's certain like consonant combinations that when you try and rip through them really quick, you really need to work on your diction to make it work.
And Brian Chevin and
Yeah.
I.
That's it, Brian Chaffin and I. Yeah.
So people might think his name is actually Brian Chevin
That's kind of funny.
I.
Have you seen Brian Chaffin and I's new show?
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
on
It's a
it
good
too.
show. It's a good show.
Yeah. Also, come see me at Max Stock, July, what is it? 10th, 11th, and 12th, I believe. It's harder for me to
Something.
remember this year because there's also an ECAM workshop the day before the regular conference, so that would be like the 9th. Yeah. Anyhow, come see me at Max Stock. We're gonna have lots of fun. All right. I guess now I'll do the rest of the wrap up.
Yeah, I mean,
Why
try that.
not?
10th, 11th, and 12th, it says on the
10th,
website.
11th, and 12th. Okay, so the
Yeah.
ECAM workshop day is on the 9th. 10th, 11th, and 12th. I will be there all 3 days. I am doing a presentation. I'm doing a workshop, and it's going to be just so much fun. Everyone gets to make art. All right. So with that, Patrice, thank you for just being an absolute delight and being such a
You're
wonderful friend and putting a smile on my face.
welcome.
It's always fun to get to do shows with you. It's one of the reasons why I love that we do Retro Rewatch.
Me too.
And then doing a big show, I almost said Context Machine, doing a big show where it's just us, that's super fun too.
It is.
So
Yeah, no, the context machine is the one with Brian Chaffin and I. So.
that's right. And I'm on it too.
And you're on it too, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyhow, yeah. Did I get all the shows? I think I got all the
I
shows.
think yeah, we were kind of starting to wrap up and
Yeah,
goodbye.
yeah. Anyhow, wow. So, yeah, Patrice just thanks for being awesome. Yeah, everyone that's watching, listening live, putting up with me, just being a squirrel today. And thank you for being here. And those of you that have been in the live chat, thank you for being part of the show as well. Everyone that watches, listens to the show recordings later, thank you for being part of the BTN family. Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And I'm so glad that your eye surgery went well. You can see what twice as good as you used to when they fix the other eye, then you'll be 100% better. So that'll be awesome. Yeah. Odd Technologies, thank you for being here and supporting us. And with that, everyone, be sure and tune in tomorrow for the Mac show. Then come back again next Thursday for the big show and have an awesome weekend.